The BetMGM Network presents to you the most unique show in sports.
I'm an NFL junkie. I think I like the NFL more than my wife. Don't tell her. Don't tell anybody. I love the National Football League.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
Do something constructive with your money instead of betting it on Kalen DeBoer. Here's the bottom line. In the National Football League, you play to win the game. And the Green Bay Packers now, 2 days before the season starts, have Micah Parsons instead of Kenny Clark. And the Cowboys have Kenny Clark instead of Micah Parsons. Period.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, magnificent Football Monday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the Odyssey app, on SiriusXM, on YouTube, on Twitch, on radio stations nationwide, in your hearts and in your minds, as we bring you the fastest show in all of wagertainment. Talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up today on the show, a betting recap from Week 1 NFL Sunday, where trying to catch a falling knife results in severed limbs. Oh yeah, we will go through all the results from yesterday, almost none of which went well, and how it might have been, in all seriousness, the most statistically unlucky betting weekend of my life, a.k.a. I lost in soul-crushing fashion. And we'll get to it as we move along in the show. One wonderful guest today on You Better You Bet, our BetMGM Network teammate, our friend Sam Panayotovich, will join us from BetSweats, a weekend betting recap with Sam, including Sam's thoughts on the Heisman Trophy in college football. And all our bets for tonight will close the show in the final hour, the Power Hour, which will, of course, feature side total and props, Monday Night Football with the Bears and the Vikings in Chicago. We will bring you the latest injury information on this game, where the Bears could be down like three very critical defensive players, including probably the two best members of their secondary in Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon. We will find out as we approach kickoff. We should know by the end of the show if they're playing or not. It will impact the bets that are given out. So we will bring you all the latest injury news and then all our bets, side total props, Femi's Island first touchdown scorers, and thy royal prop king for the first Monday Night Football game of the season, the Bears and the Vikings to close the show. Current betting market for that game, sitting right now, Vikings a 1-point road favorite, so the Bears have gotten bet a little bit today, and the total sitting at 43.5. The rest of the show, of course, dedicated to week number one in the National Football League. And where we will start, Sunday Night Football. The betting reaction of this game is coming up next hour on the show. So we'll save that for now, and we'll just talk about the actual game itself. It's one of the best Week 1 games in the history of Week 1 in the NFL. And I felt that before even Buffalo came all the way back to win the game. As Buffalo is mounting its comeback in the final few minutes of the game, I'm watching, and I've got money on Baltimore, and I'm not really enjoying myself at this moment as Buffalo is coming back. But I have to acknowledge, as a football fan, as a sports fan, it's one of the best Week 1 games ever. And last night was the 20th anniversary of Sunday Night Football on NBC, and I remember watching Giants-Colts, the Manning Bowl, and like I bet the Giants in that game, and the Colts absolutely annihilated the Giants in that game. And thinking back of all the great Sunday Night Football games, and there are many, I mean, this one's right at the top of the list. It's one of the best football games And I don't want to be prisoner of the moment here. I don't want to say one of the best. It's one of the better football games I've ever seen. The thousands of football games that I've watched. Just an absolute joy. An absolute pleasure. Two great teams. Two alien quarterbacks. At the height of their powers. Trading blows. Just an awesome, awesome, awesome sporting event. Putting a bow on what was a really fun week one NFL Sunday. And then the result. Buffalo coming back from 15 points down with under 4 minutes to play to stun the Ravens 41-40. Absolutely unbelievable. Matt Prater signed off the street after Tyler Bass gets hurt and placed on IR. Red-eye flight to Buffalo. Josh Allen's doing the post-game interview on NBC with Melissa Stark, and he's standing next to Matt Prater, and I would bet $1,000 that Josh Allen doesn't know who Matt Prater is. Like, who is this guy that's standing here with me doing this interview? Is he a kicker? Is he the equipment guy? Who is this person? Well, I'll tell you what. Not that I look like a professional athlete, because I don't. Matt Prater looks like he should be teaching high school biology. And good for him. He made the game-winning kick. Just a brutal job by Baltimore all around. With like 30 seconds to line that kick up. A little chippy for Matt Prater. So Buffalo wins the game, 41-40. Yet another gut punch loss in a series of them for this iteration of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, typically, on You Better You Bet, when we have games like this, and I break them down, I usually start with the winners. And what I say is, to the victors go the spoils. And we lead with the victors. Today, I want to lead and start with the losers. The Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, Derrick Henry, and the Baltimore Ravens. You know, the sultans of spreadsheets. The excellence of EPA. The dukes of DVOA. And the princes of points per drive. All you need to do is nerd out even like 0.5% and take a look at some kind of analytics sheet, whatever, one of these statistics, and it will tell you that the Baltimore Ravens in 2023 and 2024 are among the best teams ever in the history of football. The 2023 Baltimore Ravens, you know, the team that got stuffed into a locker in the AFC Championship game at home by the Kansas City Chiefs. The 2024 Ravens, who couldn't get it done on the road in Buffalo in the divisional round. Shout out to Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson. All these acronyms, DVOA, EPA, WTF, FUBR, they all say that the Ravens are the best. And then the lights get bright. And the games get played. And the Baltimore Ravens, the urine trickles down the leg. I'll be honest with everybody. In the fourth quarter, and even before the fourth quarter, but let's use the fourth quarter here of last night's game. As the Bills are getting turned over on downs, and Derrick Henry, like a hot knife through butter, annihilating this Bills defense. I thought to myself in that moment, the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in football, and it's not even close. They are going to be a regular season juggernaut. They're going to not that they're going to go undefeated, but they're going to absolutely smash this regular season. And what I had said going into the game, which was that the Buffalo Bills, when it was all said and done, the Bills would be shown to be the third of the AFC Big Three, not knowing what would happen on Friday night in Brazil. I'm thinking, man, the Ravens are number one in the regular season, number one with a bullet, and this has got to make you feel better about Baltimore when they get to January. That's how impressive it was. They dominated this game for 55 minutes. For 55-plus minutes, they dominated this game on the road. And I can say what I want to about Buffalo as far as the playoffs are concerned, that I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl, and I have questions about the secondary. Buffalo's a really good team, obviously. And Josh Allen's a Hall of Fame quarterback, obviously. And the reigning MVP, obviously. And the Ravens kick their ass for the vast majority of this game. It wasn't close. Baltimore outclassed the Buffalo Bills. Until they didn't. And this is what always happens with the Baltimore Ravens in the John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson era. Per ESPN's Ben Solak, friend of the show, comes on You Better You Bet all the time. The Ravens, since the 2021 season began, have lost 8 games in which they have had a win probability of at least 90%. 3 more than the next closest team. This is what the Ravens do. This is what they do. How many times do the Ravens have to do this, show you their ass, before you believe it? And I bet them. I bet them in this game. So I'm to blame also. How many times do we collectively need to see it before we actually believe it? Because, like, 6 weeks from now, you know what the spreadsheets are going to say? EPA and DVOA and PPD and WTF and GTFO. And FU, they're all going to say that the Ravens are the best team. And this year, we all have to make a promise to each other and say to ourselves, no, not this time. Not this time. And look, like, Lamar Jackson gets deservedly a lot of the blame in moments like this. Even though he played really well in the game, like, can you get one first down in the final couple drives to salt this game away? And while Lamar's far from, like, the only person to blame, and I wouldn't even say he's one of the top 2 people to blame in this particular game, you can certainly look at Ravens' blown leads in the past and put it at the feet of Lamar Jackson. And, I mean, the thing with Lamar, I mean, you compare him to Josh Allen, like Josh Allen, at least, if this were a video game, like, Josh Allen gets to the final boss of the video game. Like, he at least loses to Patrick Mahomes. Like, Josh Allen makes it to the final boss. The Ravens can't even beat the Bills. Like, the Ravens are stuck on the second-to-last level of the video game. They can't even get to the final stage. They don't even play the final boss. They lose to the second-to-last boss. Like, Mike Tyson's punch-out, they don't fight Mike Tyson. They're getting knocked out by Super Macho Man. At least the Bills make it to the end of the game. The Ravens don't even make it to the end. Lamar Jackson gets so much blame. Here's my question for everybody. At what point do we collectively say John Harbaugh might be a problem? When does that happen? Not that he isn't a great coach. Not that I wouldn't want him as the head coach of my team. I'm a Giants fan. You don't think I'd take John Harbaugh as the coach of my team? Please. He's a great coach. But at what point do we say, like, this ain't working as far as winning a Super Bowl goes? He gets this look on his face on the sideline as everything's going to hell. He's a deer in headlights. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't move. He looks like one of those guys in Times Square in Manhattan that stands still and, like, I want you to give you money for it. He's paralyzed. And he used to be aggressive. And I don't know what the hell he was thinking last night. We're at the end of this game. And I understand that the 2 prior possessions hadn't gone well for Baltimore. 3 and out and then the Derrick Henry fumble. But you have a chance. But like a field goal by Buffalo, you lose if Buffalo makes that kick. You lose if that happens. Up 40-38. A 4th and 3. I don't give a bleep if it's from your own 38. You punt that ball, you lose. You lose if you punt that football back to Josh Allen. You lose. In the same way that if the situations were reversed and Buffalo were punting it back to Lamar Jackson, I would say, you lose. You punt it back to Patrick Mahomes. You lose. What a shock. Minute 26. No timeouts. Who cares? With Josh Allen, the MVP. Of course he gets them into field goal range. And it's a chippy. And the Bills win. And the Ravens lose again. On the other side, more on Baltimore's loss. We'll talk about Buffalo's win and the statement of intent made by the Green Bay Packers.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Mike Tirico with the call last night on NBC. I'm so mad at this, that this is how this game ended last night. And yeah, like, and I bet Baltimore, and yes, I am salty about it. I'm very salty about it. I'm pretty pissed about it. At least on Thursday, we got to blame Mother Nature for the lightning delay. Like, I'd rather blame Mother Nature's not a real person. So it makes me feel better, right? Get a yell at a cloud. Like, what can you do when Mother Nature intervenes? It's like when you really have to go to the bathroom. Sometimes you just gotta go. What are you gonna do? This was human error for the Baltimore Ravens. And did Buffalo get lucky at points on this comeback? And it happens with every team and every comeback that they get. So I'm not saying Buffalo didn't deserve to win. But the Keon Coleman touchdown was like a terrible Josh Allen pass that was going to sail out of the end zone, and Keon Coleman snatched it out of the sky. And by the way, Keon Coleman looks like a stud. And Dalton Kincaid, after just a lost season last year to injury, Dalton Kincaid kind of looks like a stud too. And that's obviously big for this Buffalo Bills offense. So the Keon Coleman touchdown was lucky, right? And the Derrick Henry fumbles, a nice play by Ed Oliver. So all of these things happen, right? And Buffalo is able to claw back into the game to make it 40-38. And the Ravens get the ball. They had gone 3-and-out, and then Derrick Henry fumbles. And just to reiterate this point and how bad this is, I don't know what the hell's happened to John Harbaugh. Think about what we know about John Harbaugh in the past. Like, he always goes for it in spots like that. Like, that's been his M.O. I don't understand for the life, especially with three timeouts, where it's, oh, well, we're in field goal range. Great, like get the ball back at least if you're going to give up points. Like, this idea that you're going to play defense against Josh Allen? Like, your offense was averaging 9 yards per play, and I know that those two drives hadn't gone great. And I know that Lamar took a lick on the pass to Hopkins on third down. After Hopkins had his Odell Beckham moment. Earlier in the second half. Like, I know that. Also, the Bills called timeout. They used their last timeout to give Lamar, like, a chance to catch his breath. What would you rather do? Like, think about how insane this is from John Harbaugh. 3 yards and you win. Or give the ball back to Josh Allen. 3 points and you lose. I don't understand how that's the call that's made. When that's the quarterback on the other side. It's like, I'm going to do my remix of the Mim song, This Is Why I'm Hot. This, and you know what we're going to call it? This is why you lose. This is why you lose. This is why, this is why, this is why you lose. You lose because you punt. You lose because you punt. This is why, this is why, this is why you lose. And it's one of the reasons why Buffalo won. And for Buffalo, Josh Allen is ridiculous, obviously. What else do you need to say? He's the MVP. And if anyone was like, oh, well, Lamar should have been MVP last year. Not that, like, last night relitigates what happened last year, but I mean, this is Josh Allen going, you know what? I'm pretty deserving myself. And the crazy thing is, like, I said the Bills' defense is going to be trash to start the year. If you told me before the game the Bills are going to give up 40 points, I would have been, oh my God. My daughter's college fund, I would have put all of it on Baltimore. The Ravens were going to score 40. I can't believe they gave up 41. What a choke by the Baltimore Ravens. Just ridiculous. And just on Buffalo quickly here and Josh Allen, who opens today, and he should, as the MVP favorite. Great job by Femi last week on the show, finalizing our awards play. Femi goes, he likes Josh Allen. Well, Josh Allen's plus 350 and the favorite. And if you wanted to, you don't have to because I already did it. Buffalo's bye comes early this season, week 7. The Bills' next string of games leading up to the bye. At the Jets, we'll get to the Jets, plucky performance by the Jets. Home Miami. They might not let Mike McDaniel on the plane after that game. Home New Orleans. Home New England. At Atlanta. They're going to be 6-0 going into the bye. Should plus 350 be, and I know it's a long-ass season. I'm not saying it's over. Should this price be shorter? Like, they're going to be undefeated going into the bye, and he's got the signature moment of the season, and Mahomes already lost a game as well. Kind of feels to me like that price should be even shorter. And just quickly on the balance of power of the AFC, because, you know, I'm on the air yesterday, but yesterday's all about what's coming up later today, meaning Sunday, and we're not on the air on Saturday, obviously. So haven't got a chance to give my thoughts on what happened Friday night in Brazil for my Kansas City Chiefs. Justin Herbert was amazing. I think it's the best game he's played as a professional. And he's played some good ones. I mean that as a compliment, not a potential slight at Justin Herbert. He was 10 out of 10 magnificent in the game. And now people are tossing dirt on the grave of the Kansas City Chiefs after one game. The Chiefs earlier today on Monday, looks like got a good piece of news about wide receiver Xavier Worthy. It's just like, imagine betting game the opening two games of the NFL. Jalen Carter doesn't play a snap on Thursday night, and Xavier Worthy plays like one snap, and then he's out for the game. Their number one receiver. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Andy Reid says Xavier Worthy for right now is day-to-day, which is better than my expectation, which was like out for 10 weeks with the shoulder injury. What a game by Travis Kelce, by the way. Like, injures the number one wide receiver on the team and then doesn't finish a route on a touchdown at the end of the game to cash an over-receiving yards prop. Great stuff, Mr. Swift. Unbelievable. The Chiefs are going to be up against it for a little bit here. All they've got to do is tread water. I don't even care about the AFC West. I'd like for them to win the division, but just get to the playoffs. Buffalo can't beat them in the big spot. And after what we saw last night, yet again, do you want to take the Baltimore Ravens? Maybe I'll be the crazy one when it's all said and done. I'll still take the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll still take the final boss, Patrick Mahomes. You better, you bet. Magnificent football Monday. The NFC equivalent, the game was not as good. But the NFC equivalent of the Bills and the Ravens, yesterday at Lambeau Field, as the Green Bay Packers humiliated the Detroit Lions. Now, the final score was not like 60 to nothing. It was 27-13. But if you watched this game, and I did, because I bet on Detroit. That's like the one bet yesterday that I'll look at and say, you know what, I didn't get unlucky here with like a flip of the coin. That's just a terrible read by yours truly. At no point after this game kicked off did I ever think, wow, I think I've got a chance here with the Lions. It was apparent very early that this was like Green Bay was a heavyweight and like the Lions were a featherweight in this particular matchup. The Packers absolutely outclassed them. And it felt to me, from Green Bay, like a statement of intent. A complete game on both sides of the ball. And we have to start by talking about the newest Green Bay Packer, Micah Parsons, who not only had a sack of his own, where he's chasing down Jared Goff. And it's just like one of these things where you're watching it in the moment and you're thinking to yourself, my God, this is like what happens when a lion's chasing like a warthog or something. Like 0% chance that Jared Goff is not getting sacked on this play. Parsons is going to sack him. It's going to happen. And it did. But there are clips on social media of Micah Parsons making Penei Sewell look like a revolving door, blowing right by one of the best tackles in the league. And it's not just Parsons and his sack of Jared Goff, but it's Parsons and his impact and what it does for everyone else on this defensive line. It should be no coincidence to anybody that Lucas Van Ness, who to this point has been a pretty big bust for the Packers as far as where his draft capital was, played his best game of his career yesterday. And that Rashawn Gary had a sack and a half. And Devontae Wyatt looked great. And this Packers defense all of a sudden, who couldn't stop the Lions last year, like made Detroit's offense look stupid. Oh, you guys want to march down the field on this 9-minute drive? Great, here's 3 points. Oh, here's this like 11-minute drive? Great, here's like a 35-yard field goal attempt. We ain't letting you in the end zone. And they did eventually get into the end zone on my guy, Isaac Tesla, with maybe the catch of the day in the National Football League, because he's awesome. But it took until the end of the game. So the demolition by the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love looked good. Packers offensive line looked good. Jaden Reed somehow played in this game, looking good. Matthew Golden looking good, didn't have to do much. Tucker Kraft, I told you a couple weeks ago, I love Tucker Kraft in fantasy this year. Felt pretty good looking at his targets and seeing him catch a touchdown in this game. And I find myself thinking after the fact, after what we saw on Thursday night, and I'm not going to be prisoner of the moment here, and I don't want to overreact too much to week one. Because coming into the year, I picked the Eagles to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to stick with that. But man, should the Packers and the Eagles be the same price to win the NFC? Philly at BetMGM, plus 350. Green Bay, plus 450. Who was more impressive in week one? Who played better competition? Objectively, the answer is the Green Bay Packers. And like I said, just stick with Philly. I'm going to let this play out here with the Eagles. And we'll see what Philly looks like in the Super Bowl rematch coming up on Sunday at Arrowhead at the Chiefs. We'll see if Jalen Carter plays. We'll see if Xavier Worthy plays, etc. But I'll tell you, after that game, I think we got a clear 1-2 in the NFC in whatever order you want to put it with Philadelphia and the Green Bay Packers. Now, as for the Detroit Lions, there is, and I'm gonna say similar to what I said when Texas lost to Ohio State in college football in week one. Not apples to apples like college football versus the NFL, but I think the same point holds. There's no shame in losing on the road at one of the best teams in the league, which I think we can all agree, even if you don't think the Packers are going to make or win the Super Bowl. The Packers are one of the best teams in the NFL, right? I mean, we can all agree to that. Even if you hate Green Bay, you have to acknowledge this is one of the better teams in the league. There's no shame in the Lions losing this game on the road at the Green Bay Packers. Got Micah Parsons rushing the passer and all the continuity in that coaching staff. So I don't want to ding the Lions too much. But my antenna's up a little bit. Because it's not just that they lost. It's how they lost. The offense looked lost. Hashtag lost. Said that word a bunch in like a 30-second span. I didn't mean to. The offense looked lost. Jared Goff dinking and dunking down the field. Jared Goff Not a lot of time to throw. The interior of the offensive line getting collapsed. Micah Parsons putting Penei Sewell on ice skates. I mean, just bad from the Detroit offense. And the defense just getting peppered with explosive after explosive by Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers offense. It did look like there was a brain drain right through one game. With Ben Johnson now in Chicago and Aaron Glenn now coaching the New York Jets. It did look like there was a brain drain for the Detroit Lions. And they got a huge game coming up next week against the Chicago Bears. Now they got a chance to right the ship in a big way. Like win that game. Goff looks good. Defense plays better. Offensive line holds up. And I think we can put the alarms down for a little bit with the Detroit Lions. And we don't have to worry that much. It's only one game on the road at one of the best teams in the league. But if this stretches on a little bit with Detroit, you can easily construct a scenario where last year's number one overall seed in the NFC, a 15-win team 1 year ago, does not make the playoffs this year in the National Football Conference. On the other side, I'll get into what we all expected to be one of the most high-scoring games of the day in Week 1. Of course, I'm talking about the Steelers and the Jets.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It would be a new career long for Boswell. For the lead, sweeps the leg, 60-yarder! He's got it! Pittsburgh goes in front!
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Ian Eagle with the call on CBS. Friend of the show, Ian Eagle. I actually really liked the Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt team. First game for them. Like, sounded like they've been doing this for a long time. And Ian's the best. Friend of the show. Years voice in the open, the 5 o'clock Eastern time hour every single day. We love Ian Eagle. Great job by him. Great job by J.J. Watt. Great job by serial killer Chris Boswell. Mike Tomlin's words, not mine, said our kicker's a serial killer. Interesting choice of words. I think what he meant to say, he's just a killer, period. I don't know if he has to be a serial killer. That was a little strange. But great job by Chris Boswell, banging home a 60-yarder. I have a feeling we'll see some more long kicks this season with the new structure of how they're dealing with the K-balls. But great job by Chris Boswell, a career long. And an especially great job by Aaron Rodgers. And I'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in a second. But I want to credit the Jets. And I need to make a mea culpa here. Because one game in, like, I'm wrong about Justin Fields. That might be the best game of Justin Fields' career. How well he played yesterday. And the Jets looked like an actual professional operation. A respectable football operation. Aaron Glenn, I think, acquitted himself very well in game one as a head coach. Tanner Engstrand, I mean, if the Jets were ever good, does he win assistant coach of the year? If the offense looks like that? I mean, Justin Fields, for the balance of his career, can't complete the forward pass. He was sensational yesterday. And I'll say it, I'm not a hater because, like, I don't care. I have no personal, like, bias against. Like, I think he stinks. And I think that I've been right on that take for years. But I'm always going to be real. I'm going to be honest with everybody. When I'm right, when I'm wrong, he was awesome yesterday. Like, it was not a fluke. Now, yesterday it wasn't. That doesn't mean he can't be terrible against Buffalo next week. But for one game, I have to give him a ton of credit. I thought he was really good. And the offensive line for the Jets, like, Armon Membu was ragdolled T.J. Watt on a number of plays. He was really good. Olaf Oshanu on the other side of tackle was really good. Like, Tippmann, Simpson. It's just, like, It looked like Vera Tucker was there. And Breece Hall, like, looked like the top five pick that he was last year in fantasy football. Catching the ball and running the ball in this game. Steelers linebacker Patrick Queen said after the game, "We played like bleep." Yes. Yes, they did. I can't believe the Steelers defense was that bad yesterday against that offense. And it concerns you a little bit, right? As someone, for me at least, someone that likes the Pittsburgh Steelers this season. So I wanted to credit the Jets. There's no moral victories in sports. I don't even really think there are moral victories in life. I know some people disagree with that. And this, you know, a participation trophy culture that we live in, where everyone's great and everyone's awesome and everybody gets a medal and everybody gets an attaboy. I don't believe in that. There's no moral victories. There's no medals for trying. The Jets are 0-1. But I'll tell you, like, that's a team that you can look at, the Jets. And if you're a Jets fan today, you can be proud of that team, even in a losing effort. Unlike the team that shares that stadium with them. And we'll get to my favorite team, the New York Football Giants, in a little bit. But for right now, this is really important. I'm trying to help everybody here. I'm trying to help all of you improve your mentals. You know, if you're... Here's like the funny thing, right, about life in 2025. If you're a fat, lazy slob, you can fix that. You go on Ozempic. Who knows what the side effects are going to be? You know, you can't drag your ass to the gym or eat a freaking salad. But hey, you can take this pill. You can make things better. You can take the easy way out. You can be lazy. It's harder to do it mentally, to improve your mental health, to be more positive, to look at things day by day and enjoy things in life and stop being so damn negative. For all of you people out there, and there are many of you, I'm willing to bet we are way more than 50%, way more than 50%. To all of you out there who have let your personal feelings about Aaron Rodgers taint the way you view him as a quarterback, you should all be embarrassed for robbing yourself of this joy of watching this man play quarterback. A top seven quarterback in my lifetime. I'll even say in the Super Bowl era, a top seven quarterback. Maybe the most talented thrower of the football in the history of the National Football League, who has authored many of the greatest games ever played by a quarterback, including the game that I would say is number one. Divisional round, 2010 postseason, Packers at the Atlanta Falcons, who were the one seed. 31 of 36, 335 yards, 4 touchdowns. Slicing and dicing the Atlanta Falcons in that game. En route to a Super Bowl championship and a Super Bowl MVP. The best game I've ever seen a quarterback play. And there have been so many throughout the years. And you the person watching, you the person listening, you have allowed Rodgers' thoughts on vaccines and politics and ayahuasca and the family stuff's weird. I'll give you that. But you've allowed all of this to somehow warp in your mind what he is as a player. That he somehow sucks. And that he's washed. And that he can't play anymore. Even though he showed you last year on a sinking ship, the SS Robert Saleh, the SS Nathaniel Hackett, the SS Jeff Ulbrich, that he showed you last year that he could still play, and that he was going from a circus in Flora Park to a legitimate, stable organization with a real leader. Say what you want about him, but he's a leader in Mike Tomlin. And you thought that he was going to be bad. You thought Aaron Rodgers sucks. Aaron Rodgers can't play. And you root against him. You root against him. One of the most fun quarterbacks to ever play the game. And I took great pleasure yesterday watching him shove it right down your throat. 4 touchdown passes. Turning back the clock. Running Arthur Smith's offense to absolute perfection. And getting a win in the season opener. I saw people yesterday on social media say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is so petty. Oh, he's taking shots at the Jets as if you wouldn't feel the same way if you were him. Imagine you work at your job. They tell you you're not good enough anymore. You go work for a competitor and you beat that and you beat your old boss, your old job, and whatever it is you do. You're not going to feel good about it? Please. Drop the holier-than-thou routine. I don't want to freaking hear it. It was awesome. And it's great that he tells it like it is, whether you like it or not. Aaron Rodgers is back. I'll take it a step further. I don't think he ever left. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to the playoffs this year. And I can't wait to watch it. As a matter of fact, I might just be a Steelers fan for the rest of the year. Because my team, the New York Football Giants, are once again hideous, disgraceful, and absolutely pathetic. I said last year, imagine year 3 of a regime being the worst team in the league and keeping your job. We're now 1 game into year 4 of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Does someone want to like offer a counter argument when I say the Giants are once again one of the worst teams? Just get slammed by the Commanders. The Giants were the trendy dog yesterday. You know what we told you on this show? You know what the trendy dog was? Old Yeller. Take that son of a bitch out behind the woodshed, this old weathered canine who can't walk anymore, and put it out of its misery. Shotgun, head, blammo, see you later. 21-6. Offensive line still sucks. And I know Andrew Thomas didn't play, but everyone that Joe Shane has picked, they're all bad. They're all bad. John Michael Schmitz at center. I'd rather have John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt than John Michael Schmitz, who can't block anybody. Like former Raiders, not the Pete Carroll Raiders that are actually decent. Like the Josh McDaniels jabroni Raiders. Let's bring some Raiders in on the offensive line. Evan Neal can't even play. He's so bad he can't even get on the field. What a pathetic disgrace from Brian Daboll. And his offense can't do anything in year 4. Brian Daboll announced today that Russell Wilson will start on Sunday at the Dallas Cowboys. Let's just delay the inevitable. Why play Jackson Dart, even though he's the future of the team? It's ridiculous. Remember on Friday, after Thursday Night Football, when we told you Cowboys 3.5 was the look ahead? What a joke that was. Now it's 6. Feels about right. I'm going to be a Steelers fan this year. Screw you, Giants. Hour 1 done. Hour 2 for you coming up on the other side. Femi joins me on the other side, and we will talk what happened with the bets this weekend.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.